the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I know every one of the listeners, Jeremy, they want to know how my experience was at the Professional Football Hall of Fame.
Right, yeah, I want to hear that too.
But we're going to do that next hour. Is that cool?
All right.
It was awesome, and I'll tell you what, there was a huge Illini twist to it right off the bat.
Nice.
And I'll explain that to you as we go, but I did have a chance to go to Canton, and I did have a chance to go through the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that later in the show.
Yeah, later in this hour, we'll also hear from Illini Athletic Director Mike Thomas.
Sweet.
He met with the media today. We're also going to give away some tickets to the South Dakota State game this Saturday at Memorial Stadium, so be listening a little later for that.
Well, first, we're going to bring on Lindsey Wilhite. He covers the Fighting Illini for the Daily Herald. You can follow him on Twitter, at Wilhite Herald, and that's W-I-L-L-H-I-T-E. H-E-R-A-L-D. That's a lot of H. I'll take an H or an L for 500. Lindsey, how are you, buddy?
I'm okay. That wasn't my theme music, was it?
It took me a while to figure out which one you'd really like, and I ended up going with Black Betty.
Yeah. Black Betty, Beastie Boys, it's all the same.
It's great. Well, Lindsey, unlike me, you were at the game Saturday for the Fighting Illini game. What do you think, just first impressions of week one for Illinois?
I would say first impression solid. Nothing overly magical. I guess we didn't have all of our questions answered, but you're never going to get all the questions answered in game one. I like the passing game. I like the way that when Arkansas State made Illinois go to the air to beat them, they Shieldhouse could do it with Jenkins in the line. Defense, the numbers look good, but Arkansas State dropped a couple touchdown passes out there that could have made things a lot more interesting. I'd give it a B minus for a first game, which isn't too bad.
Yeah, Lindsey, you've been covering college football for a while. I mean, how much can you put into this week one, or is it usually just a mirage of what's to come?
You know, you can kind of look at yourself and evaluate what you do. I'm thinking of Thursday night when Wisconsin played UNLV. I mean, everyone marveled at Wisconsin's offense, but what you didn't really learn until, afterward is that UNLV came out in the pistol and did a bunch of stuff that Wisconsin did not prepare for whatsoever. So it was hard for them to get a true read on their defense. And, you know, if we've been watching the game, I was watching the game, I'm thinking, wow, this defense with new guys isn't that fabulous. Well, there was a good reason. They didn't know assignments. They didn't know what they were up against. So, you know, going forward next week, the week after, that's when we'll get a better idea and a better feel for what these teams are about.
Talking with Lindsey Wilhite from the Daily Herald. He's the college sports beat reporter for the Daily Herald up there in Arlington Heights. And Lindsey, the passing game, you mentioned it. Darius Malines and A.J. Jenkins looked good. But Nathan Shieldhouse, you know, I think back to last year against Missouri when they loaded the box, Nathan Shieldhouse looked like he was uncomfortable, and as he should be. It was his first college football game. But I think you saw the maturation process of what a year can do for him on Saturday.
Absolutely. I don't think there was any uncertainty with where he was going to go. He put the one ball on, I mean, Malines made a great catch, but it was kind of on Malines' back shoulder on the fly pattern from deep in their own end. I want to say fourth quarter, third quarter, whatever it was, somewhere in the second half. That was a nice pass put where it needed to be. Nate's arm still isn't, you know, Jeff George. He's still not going to drill guys and throw 75-mile-an-hour fastballs, but he knows where he wants to go with the ball, and he can put it there, which when you add in the running ability, that's about all you can ask for from a guy.
Lindsey, total offense, 473 yards, 202 of that on the ground. But should I be concerned as an Illini fan that Jason Ford didn't crack the 100 mark?
It's probably beyond my pay level to go back and evaluate the film and see just how much Arkansas State sold out against the run. I mean, the first quarter he was solid. I want to say 10 carries, 65 yards. And
right.
Then after that, maybe 2 yards a carry, 12 for 20 or somewhere in there. And so I would have to go back and see, did Arkansas State have 8 in the box? Did they have 9 in the box? Did the offensive line just not play well enough? You know, that's so hard to say. Now, if Jason Ford doesn't average 6-7 yards a carry this week, it doesn't get 100, provided he gets, you know, enough carries, then maybe that's a different matter, because South Dakota State isn't that great.
You're listening to Lindsey Wilhite from the Daily Herald. I'm Jeremy Warner. That's Lante. It's the Tay and Jay Show. And Lindsey, Riley O'Toole, a kid that played up close to where you work up there in Arlington Heights, you know, came into the game with 3 minutes and 20 seconds left. I wasn't able to be in the press box because I wasn't there this weekend. I had family things to do. But what was kind of the reaction from the media when Riley O'Toole went in the game?
You know, I think we were all down there on the field just kind of watching. I guess everyone kind of assumed it would happen because they had hinted at it earlier in the, you know, earlier in the preseason, earlier in the week. I don't have a problem with it myself. I know I kind of read the message boards and see all, a lot of fans are up in arms because they think O'Toole should have redshirted. But facts are, if something happens to Nathan, O'Toole is the next guy to go in. Yeah. You know, Osei can run around a little bit and do and make plays with his feet, but if they're going to be a legitimate offense, you know, going for this year and going forward, O'Toole needs to be a guy, needs to be a guy who can move the ball through the air. And so I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Lindsey Wilhite, he covers college sports for the Daily Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at Wilhite Herald. And Lindsey, one thing, six true freshmen saw the field. 14 Illini in all saw the field for the first time. What does that tell you about this program? It sounds like we've heard the coaches talk about the last two recruiting, last two recruiting classes have been pretty solid. I mean, this is proof, right, that these guys are
doing a find-up, this fantasy football draft.
There you go, exactly.
I think with the running backs, you know, we didn't see, I know Donovan Young had one great run where he made a terrific move to shake a guy on the outside, and Josh Ferguson was okay. I think part of they look like they're solid, but part of it, too, is that there aren't really, other than Jason Ford, there's not really running backs in the pipeline here.
Right.
Fred Pollard has been just a guy, unfortunately. I mean, they talk about what a great leader he is, and that's fine, but he's not a guy you can count on to give you 10 or 15 carries. They need to play. I mean, that's an important thing. John Davis, I mean, he didn't get a ball thrown his way, so it's hard to tell what he is. I mean, you could see him in practice and in Rantoul and see that he does have some ball skills and he's going to be somebody someday. It's hard to say. I am impressed. If you want to go by the rankings, I mean, you see a bunch of 2 and 3 stars in the last couple of classes. But if you want to go by results, well, it looks like they found some guys that have, I guess you could say, flown under the radar.
Lindsey also covered Northwestern for the Daily Herald, and just wondering if you caught any of the glimpse of them. I know you covered the Illinois game, but pretty impressive rushing performance, especially when you say Dan Persa wasn't even playing in that game, beating Boston College over there in Boston. Just reaction to the Week 1 win for Northwestern.
Well, I was really surprised that they were able to go over 200 yards against Boston College. One thing Northwestern did do in the offseason is they installed the pistol as well, which is a little more traditional running, gives running backs a little more of a regular feel as opposed to trying to run out of the spread. And when Kane Coulter had to play instead of Dan Persa, they went even more pistol than I think they had planned when they installed it. They were still going to be primarily spread with, you know, pistol with time. Kane Coulter is, for those who didn't see Northwestern and you've seen Nathan Shieldhouse, Kane Coulter is Nathan Shieldhouse at 6 foot tall and a little bit shiftier and dartier than Nathan. So that's the type of guys they have there. And he played terrific for a kid seen as making his first the college start.
So does Dan Persa play next week, or do they think they can get through EIU without him, or do they have to play him so he can get the Heisman campaign going?
Yeah, it's tough
going
to win it if you're right on the bench.
the Persa Strong campaign is in neutral right now. I think they're, as I think most people realize, it wasn't so much about getting serious Heisman consideration for Dan Persa as getting people nationwide talking about Northwestern Dan Persa. To that end, it worked perfectly. I mean, they got hyped on ESPN and, I don't know, New York Times, various other places. But the reality is Dan Persa wasn't going to be a serious Heisman candidate unless he just went berserk and averaged 400-plus total yards a game. Persa's not going against the Eastern Illinois. He might not even go, in fact, I would guess probably not the following week when they go to Army. Then they have a bye week before the Wildcats go to Illinois on October 1, so that would be my guesstimate of when Persa might first hit the field.
Wrapping up with Lindsey Wilhite from the Daily Herald. And, Lindsey, if I was any good at my job, I would have followed up Jeremy's question on Riley O'Toole with this. I'd like your personal opinion, Lindsey. We've kind of given ours, and I'm on record, I guess, as saying I don't like playing Riley O'Toole in just a mop-up minute. But I think what Ron Zook and Paul Petrino are trying to do, but I don't like it. I'd rather save him and only use him if you had to. I'd like to get your personal opinion on that as well. Do you like it, or is this something where you were kind of hoping they wouldn't use him as well until they had to?
If Shieldhouse was a drop-back passer and a guy you could project as making it through the season unscathed, then I wouldn't like it. The fact of the matter is, and kind of reading between the lines and what I understood from talking with Riley after the game and some other folks, they wanted to get him in earlier in that game. I think maybe they thought they would dispense of Arkansas State a little sooner, and he would get to play maybe in the third quarter, maybe play something where it wasn't mop-up, but it wasn't you know, fresh, you know, pressure filled.
Sure.
I think this week, I think Jeremy Spire talked about, I think it'll see even more, I don't know, 2-3 series, who knows how many, depending on how the game goes. I think they really are hoping by the time they get to Northwestern and the Big Ten that they can feel comfortable that if they have to throw them in for a series or two or three, or if they need to, you know, need to throw a deep out or who knows what, they can count on them.
That's fair enough, and I'm thinking that I'm seeing the same thing. I think that's the reading between the lines to me, is that they're going to use him kind of like they used Eddie McGee last year in certain situations where maybe he can come in if Nathan's kind of stalling out a little bit, or maybe there's just a certain series that they want to use Riley, and I think that's something maybe that Petrino's leading up to.
You know, that's an excellent point. It's like Eddie, but with some accuracy.
Right.
with a little more certainty. You know, Eddie was fun for a wild card, and you never knew a coach. We wasn't related to Eddie, but I think it was a Northwestern coach talking about one of his defenders one time, and he said, when that guy's in there, there's always going to be a band playing. It's not necessarily always going to be ours, but somebody after placed over one band to the other is going to be playing. So that was kind of where Eddie was with his passing at the end of the career.
Good stuff. Lindsey Wilhite, Daily Herald, we appreciate it. It's always fun to visit with you, and I look forward to talking to you more as the season goes along.
Can at least be a middle reliever somewhere in the rotation of, you got media greats and stuff. I could like be a media mediocre or something.
We're still setting our rotation. Are you left-handed by chance?
I'm amphibious, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we'll set something up in that, you know, that eighth inning, come in to face the lefty role. Would that work
Perfect.
With you?
Yeah, I'm a loogie. That's me.
I'm a loogie. Lindsey, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.
All right. As you can tell, Lindsey Wilhite from the Daily Herald has got a fun sense of humor, and he is always fun to interview.
And you know what he brought up that I think is going to be a fantastic storyline leading into that homecoming game?
Yes.
If Dan Persa makes his season debut against Illinois
Ooh.
At Memorial Stadium.
Ooh.
I mean, you don't even have to hype that game up, but you talk about one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten might be his first game. That just adds to it right there.
Well, I think if anything, that plays into our hands. I don't know if any quarterback will be playing at their top level after having missed three games and a bye week with the first action. In a way, I hope that is his first
right.
game, that there are those three games that they had the bye week and he hasn't had a snap yet, because there's no way that he's going to be playing as good October 1st, if that's the case, than he would be, you know, at the end of October, beginning of November. I think we're getting Northwestern at a great time for the second year in a row.
I agree with that. And believe me, Dan Persa is good. There's no doubt about it. He's good. And there's no doubt that with him missing last year at Wrigley Field, it made a big impact on that game. And with him coming in fresh as his first start, I agree. I think it could make a difference.
Does that scare you? Does Northwestern scare you after that game?
Well, yeah,
no.
A little bit.
That rushing attack was pretty solid.
I mean, with their backup quarterback in, making his debut in college, and they go and beat Boston College on the road.
Yeah, again, yeah. But how good? We don't know how good Boston College
That's
is.
True.
I think, if anything, you know, it'd be hard for me to believe that both teams, Illinois and Northwestern, changed so dramatically in the last year. I'm not saying Illinois is going to run the ball like they did up at Wrigley Field.
Right.
But I really don't think that in less than 1 year's time, all of a sudden, Northwestern is just this grinded out physical team. You know, surprisingly, for all the bravado that Pat Fitzgerald has, they are one of the most perennially finesse teams
Go
in the
Cats.
Big Ten, and they will remain so. I don't buy it, and but trust me, I'm biased, and I just hate Northwestern.
Can I say something? And we've got like 30 seconds, but I'll tell you this. The Dare to Dream Day that Mike and I had, where we had Illinois winning, what,
11-1 going to Indy.
When I saw the Indiana score, when I saw the Indiana score, and I saw the Purdue score, I started thinking more of, this might be a dare to dream.
Oh, come on.
It may happen.
I mean, Indiana
How
lost
bad
to
is Indiana?
Indiana lost to Hugo.
Hey, if
Purdue barely beat Philo.
If we found out one thing, it's that the gimme game on the road that's going to be the toughest is at Minnesota.
Good point. Tanjay Show.